Oh my gosh, the worst part. Okay, so we were cantering along. This, bear in mind, this is not my horse that I'm riding. Cantering along. And then my friend Lauren up ahead goes, there's a snake. Do you know what they needed? They needed a National Trust tea shop. That is what they needed. Hello everybody and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. If you're watching this on the Esme's Country Life YouTube channel, you'll see that I am back in England. I'm back home again after my travels in Florida. I had so much fun, but do not worry. I still have lots to update you on my trip. So that's what we're partly going to be talking about today. But before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, RedPost. RedPost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. Also, coming up very soon is Safety Weekend on the 20th and 21st of April. So look out for that for some awesome safety deals, tips and tricks from RedPost. Also, exciting news, I can finally tell you that my meet and greet this summer, the tickets go on sale on the 1st of May. So look out for that. I'm only doing the one day at RedPost this summer. So tickets will probably sell out quickly. And as always, I like to let you guys on the podcast know all the information first. But anyway, let's get into where I was before. So Palm Beach, Florida, that's where we got to. Just did the road trip down and we had arrived at our hotel. Now Palm Beach, we are actually in West Palm Beach, and oh my goodness, it was nice. We were staying in the nice part, so that was very cool, because we had the option of staying there or staying in Wellington, because a lot of the work and stuff that I was doing was actually in Wellington. But let me describe Wellington to you, because I mean, I've only been there once. This is from my very brief kind of trip there. But Wellington, if you can imagine a horsey town, but there's just like horses everywhere. There are a lot of like gated communities, and you go in there and there's just horse barns everywhere you go. It honestly looks like my dream Pinterest board, because it's just fancy barns and stables after the other, and everything is very immaculate. So there's like palm trees and flowers, and everything's like mown, and there's no rubbish. It's just very, very pretty. A lot of money in that area. And also around there, something that's very cool, because obviously Florida, there's a lot of rain out there. There's actually like lots of canals, and there are lots of like horse tracks or horse paths that are like made of like kind of sand, I believe. So people can just like hack around from like barn to barn, go and see their friends, which sounds very cool. But also there's horse crossings as well. So I do know that we do actually have horse crossings in the UK, because I saw one online. Also, I think I might have seen a horse crossing, this was a long time ago now, but when I was learning to drive at 17, when I was doing my driving theory, I'm pretty sure in one of the like safety learning videos that I watched, or maybe it was in a book, there was a picture of a horse crossing. So we do have them in England, but they are pretty rare. They look like a normal like crossing, but with horses. Also, one thing that I found really weird, which I can't remember if I said in the previous episode or not, was your crossings in America, I don't know if this is a Florida thing or like a whole US thing, but you guys, they don't make noises. They don't make noises when you want to cross the road, which really threw me, because, you know, being in somewhere new, I quite like to have a little look around. I'm always looking at seeing what's happening, all the cars going by, all the like buildings, trees. I don't know. I'm just a nosy person. I'm also sometimes, a lot of the time, in my own little dream world. So anyway, we're standing at the level crossing, press the little pedestrian crossing button, and we were standing there, and then we realized, oh goodness, I also have a bad habit, even if with crossings in a different country, I always say, oh, it's green, we can go, even though the American ones, they don't turn green. There's just like a little walking person, I'm pretty sure, that's white, so it doesn't actually go green, but I still go, okay, it's green, we can go. But anyway, they don't make a noise. There was no noise, because in the UK, I'm used to the like beep, 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 beep. So if somebody's like visually impaired, They know because of the sound. I know that some actually you can, which is quite interesting, which I learned from the internet. If you didn't know, there's like a little thing that you can put your hand on and apparently like buzzes or like it moves or twists or something. So if you're visually impaired, you can also like feel it to find out if you can cross the road. So that's quite cool. But I didn't see any of them on the American ones. So yeah, that was one thing. We were just standing there. We didn't realize because we were waiting for some sort of noise to go. Also, the level crossings in Australia, they make a really cool noise. I don't know if that's just me. Australians, I like your crossings. Anyway, sorry, back to the horse crossing. So yeah, there was just this town and it was just, everything was horsey. It was very cool. There were loads of tack shops as well that we drove by. But yeah, so we were mainly there because they obviously have the show at Wellington, which is also wild to me because, it's one of those shows that go on for so long. Like, it goes on for weeks, months, goodness knows how long. Anyway, so we were there right at the end because they had the $5,000 Rolex... No? $500,000, oh goodness, had a little dyslexia moment then. Sorry. Even though £5,000 is a lot of money. Sorry. It was the £500,000 Rolex Grand Prix. So that was very cool. We were there with Wellington and obviously got really good seats, got to see it all, did some filming, had a little walk around. The showground there is beautiful as well. Very different to the World Equestrian Centre. I'd say Wellington is smaller, but prettier. So I'd say Wellington, there's a lot more palm trees. It's more kind of everything's enclosed. Obviously I don't know. I didn't see the stables, but I don't believe that there's anywhere like WEC where it can hold 3,000 horses. But one thing that really surprised me about both shows was that there wasn't many like people there, as in like general public. When you think of the UK, we have like big events, show jumping things, like even stuff like Hoys, Olympia, or sorry, the London International Horse Show, you guys know what I mean. A lot of those, you know, there's a big crowd of people watching, when there just wasn't as many people. And I think that's probably because the USA is such a big country that to get everyone to come over, it's quite far. When you think of, I don't know, a show like Burley or Badminton, pretty much the whole country could easily drive there in like a few hours, when, you know, in the US, if you're over in California and you want to get to Florida, that's like a long old trip on an aeroplane, or if you drive, that's going to take you at least a couple of days or something. So anyway, that's probably why. But it was very cool. It was very pretty as well. Like, there were fountains and flowers, so had a really good time there. Also, while I was there, I went around a few barns as well. And one thing that I learned, which blew my mind, was that above a lot of the stables, or in like a lot of barns, they have these sprays, and they'll spray like fly spray on the horses and in the barn to obviously get rid of all the insects and things. And I just did not know that was a thing. So that is something that I've learned. If that is also new to you, you're welcome. A little bit of information there. Hopefully you've learned something from the podcast if you've been listening for over a year now. But if not, I hope it's at least entertaining. Anyway, so that was cool. And then I also met my friend Gabby, who's also a Charles Owen rider. So Charles Owen were like, you two seem like you have the same sort of vibe. You should meet up and film a video. So she's a Chilean rider, but has lived in Florida and been in Florida for the last, goodness knows, like over 10 years now, I think. So it was really cool talking to her about the differences of riding in America compared to me riding in Europe or England. And she also added like a few like Chilean facts in there as well. And there are a few things that she kind of was like, yeah, this is definitely like an American thing, because we did not do that back where I'm from. So that was really interesting. We got along so well. There was one part where we just lost it. We were laughing so much. So that video should be coming out soon. I was thinking though, well, it could be quite fun, because we were just like sitting there for over half an hour chatting. I might make that into a podcast episode, because I know some of you might not have the time if you're living busy lives, looking after horses, working or at school or university or whatever, might not have the time to watch a full on like 30, 40 minute YouTube video, but you have time to listen to the podcast because you can listen to it on the go. So if you would like that episode as a podcast episode, let me know in the comments and I'll try and make it happen, because honestly, it was so funny. We had so much fun. So yeah, that was really, really lovely. Also, I have an embarrassing story for you all. Of course, can't go far without an embarrassing story. I don't think I've even told my dad this one. So there we go. So while I was at a barn and doing some filming, I really needed the toilet. So I went, hello, can I use your restrooms, please? Again, I managed to remember to say restrooms and not toilets because I always felt like I was really rude if I say, oh, can I go to the toilet? Like, I don't know. Like, the restrooms just sounds more posh. Anyway, so I was like, can I go to the restrooms? They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's just there. It's just there. And okay. So I went and opened it. And you know when it's a door that you don't know, you think to yourself, am I being stupid? And maybe it's just a little bit stiff, like it needs a bit of WD-40 on or something. Like maybe, like, you know, I'm just being a bit weak. I just need to... My dad's laughing. He can see where this is going. So I just thought, oh, maybe it's a little bit stiff. I'll just proper, you know, yank on the handle. Opened it up. I don't know if I broke the lock or not, but there was a poor guy in there on the toilet. And as soon as like I opened the door, I felt someone pull its shirt and I was like, oh no, this is so awkward. I quickly ran away. I went and started petting a horse and they were like, oh, is there someone in there? I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, okay. And then the person went out, tried to hide from them, and then I went to the toilet. So that is my embarrassing story. There we go. There's always one. That one wasn't too... It could have been worse. It could have been worse. He might not have known it was me. So there we go. Anyway, lesson learned. Because that has happened to me before where I thought that something was locked and it wasn't. And I was just standing there for 5 minutes and then I opened it up and I was like, oh, there wasn't actually anyone in there. So I really thought that was the situation, but it wasn't. It wasn't. So when we arrived at Wellington, I can't believe I forgot to say this. So when you work at a horse show, often, well, for me, because I'm working in media, the place that we normally go to is the media centre first, where sometimes you pick up your press accreditation from the media centre, sometimes it's somewhere else. But anyway, we went to the media centre, went to pick it up. Now, these people, obviously, it was my first time at Wellington, had only really talked to them on Zoom calls and through emails, never really met them before. Got there, and what's the first thing we see? So I'm all there, like, dressed up, trying to look professional for, like, these new people I've never met before. And Dad, obviously, had forgotten to send in photos for our press passes. Oh, I actually have quite a lot of press pass photo stories, because when I first started working for the FEI, they took a picture of me, which I was not expecting, when I first arrived, like, just got off an aeroplane kind of thing, for Gothenburg, and that was in 2019, I want to say, 2018, I think it was. Anyway, it was a long old time ago, and so I look like an absolute fetus. I look like a child. I look like a baby fresh out the womb. So anyway, every single time I go to an FEI show, they use that one photo. Every press pass I have, it is that photo. Like, once the FEI take a photo of you, that's it. That is your photo for life. I don't care if you're 62 and that photo was taken 50 years ago. That is your photo kind of thing. So yeah, anyway, that's another little funny story. And then anyway, so what did the Wellington team do to get our photos? They went on to so my photo was actually a very nice one of me wearing Fairfax and Favour that they just got off my Instagram, so that was lovely. But with my dad, they managed to find, like, I don't know if it was his Facebook or like his private Instagram that he doesn't use anymore, because he actually just messages all his photographer friends on my Instagram, and sometimes people don't know that it's my dad messaging me them and not me. But you can probably tell, because I use a lot more emojis and my dad doesn't use emojis, so there we go. Anyway, so yeah, my dad basically just uses my Instagram to talk to his friends. I'm like, this is really weird, but it is, like, yeah, my work Instagram. Anyway, sorry, back to the, yeah, so they found this photo of my dad, and it's a picture of him with Joey, and Joey's doing his, like, smelling thing where his top lip is up, and my dad honestly looks, like, half possessed, because he's trying to do the same face as Joey with his, like, mouth open, his lip curled up, and it is not a good look. It's not a good look. So we're here having business meetings with people in America that we've never met before, and my dad's walking around with this picture of him and Joey around his neck doing a stupid face. And it's like, oh goodness. But apparently it's not the first time that the Wellington press office has done this, because another lady came up to us and was like, oh yeah, they did that to me once, and I'm pretty sure I even submitted a photo, and they got a photo of me in like my bikini, like swimming with dolphins or something. So anyway, that is a little warning to you. If you ever do anything with the Wellington media team, make sure you send in your press pass photo, because if not, it might be one that you regret. At least they don't have my best friends on Instagram, on their private Instagrams, because every time it's my birthday, you best believe they post the most unflattering photos of me. So there we go. That was a little funny story for you all. What else? Oh my gosh, I haven't even told you about... Okay, so, sorry, back to West Palm Beach, where we were staying. I can't remember if it was before or while I was in America. I think it was maybe when we just arrived. The Skims team were like, hey, heard you're in Florida, want to do a photo shoot with us? So I was like, yes, please. So that was incredible. Very cool. It's always really fun doing stuff with teams and people like outside the horsey world. And kind of, I felt like a proper influencer, even though I don't really like that word. I like to say content creator, but I felt like one of them gals, you know. But that was really good fun. That went so well. Okay, so I have this story, and I don't know if it's very professional for me to talk about, but it's to do with Skims, and it's quite funny. So the other day, because obviously I'm back home in England now, we went out for a lovely roast to celebrate my granddad's birthday. So I was with my granddad and my nana, and anyway, my nana was saying, because she's like my biggest fan, she like always like watches all the stuff on my Instagram and things like that, and she was looking through my stories and she was looking at all the Skim stuff I was doing, and she was like so lovely to me, saying how like amazing I looked. It was very, very sweet. She's like my biggest fan. But anyway, she said the only thing that I was a bit concerned about though was that she clicked on the link that I put on my stories, like get the look with Skims, because if you didn't know this, when content creators work with brands, especially if they're doing like story posts and they have like a link, that link has like a special URL so they can see how many people click through. So if you ever want to help out a content creator, you don't even have to buy anything, just click on the link through to the website. That helps us out, because after its stories have been up for so long, you have to send it through screenshots of how many people have clicked on the link, how many people have clicked on like the at for the brand to see like how much traffic you can drive through. That's kind of how it works, if you didn't know. But anyway, so my grandma clicked on the link to like, I don't know, see the dress or whatever I was wearing. And that same sort of weekend or time, Skims had actually launched a collection which was like a lingerie wedding kind of, not the stuff that I was shooting. I was shooting like athleisure, like leggings and a cute top, pajamas, like a nice dress. I wasn't doing underwear modeling. So my grandma got onto the bit of Skims which was lacy underwear and other kind of more sexy bits and pieces, which is, I don't really like talking about underwear. I'm a very British reserved gal when it comes to those sort of things. And my grandma thought she was on the wrong website, because she was like, this is not what my granddaughter is wearing. So yeah, I thought I would share that funny story, because it really tickled me. She kept on saying, I thought you put the wrong link and someone had put something dodgy on it and I was going through to the wrong website. But no, they just do other things, but that was not the stuff that I was promoting. Anyway, moving on. My time in West Palm Beach was actually really good fun, because right at the end of the trip, we actually had, to be fair, we did schedule in like a few days to try and have a rest so we didn't get ourselves burnt out, but we kept having people being like, come to my barn, come film a video. So we only come for a ride. We only had like one or two days, maybe like an afternoon and a day free. I say free. We spent those days editing and filming podcasts, but we did have like one day where we were like, oh, let's go for a little mooch about West Palm Beach, have a little walk around. And it was very fancy. There was like, we walked past a McLaren garage, we walked past some fancy shops. Where we were actually staying was quite nice because there was, it was like a short walk to like a pedestrianized kind of area where they had loads of shops and places that you could eat and things, which were a little bit on the pricey side, but we did manage to find some bits that were within the budget. But yeah, no, we had such a lovely time. We did, we decided, you know what, we're going to walk to the beach one day, which probably, I don't know, did it take us about an hour there and back? So we went on this hour walk. We went, me and my dad went on a little hot girl walk together. And so that was good fun. But one thing, so we thought, oh, it's about half an hour there, half an hour back. We'll walk up there and on the beach, we'll grab like an ice cream or a drink or something. Because in the UK, or even just in anywhere in Europe, to be honest, if there is a beach, there is often thousands of cafes, touristy places, and there just wasn't. It was just a beach, and it was just like hotels or condos, or and we were like, where can we grab a coffee or an ice cream or something like that? No, not at all. Do you know what they needed? They needed a National Trust tea shop. That is what they needed. Any like popular coastline, there is often some sort of tea shop in the UK. But no, there wasn't anything. So I had to like get up my little maps and I was like, Siri, please find me somewhere where I can get a drink. I'm so thirsty. So we found this. There was one place and it was closing and we're like, you know what, we're just going to have to walk back to the hotel. But we did, there was this one waiter and he recommended us this ice cream place that we went to. And I got to say, the ice cream was good. So we went and got ice creams there, which was pretty much like 5 minutes away from the hotel. So we went on this proper long hot girl walk. I was a hot girl by the end of it. And I'm not talking about in the attractive way. I was sweaty. I looked like I'd probably like walked a marathon because it was so hot, so humid. And again, I am a British gal. I am not used to the heat, but it was really good fun. It was quite fun also because we got to walk over this big bridge and we were just standing there looking at all the yachts being like, which yacht would you go for? Oh, I think that one looks quite nice. Yeah, you know what? If someone offered me that yacht, I'd take it. I'd take it off their hands. So yeah, that we were just, you know, walking around. A bit like, you know, when you go on Bright Move and you like looking at really, really expensive, fancy houses. That's what we were doing, but with yachts. But no, it was a good old time. Had a lovely time there. What else did we do? Let me have a little look at my notes, because I feel like there was some more things that... Oh my gosh, I haven't told you about my hacking. My, what should I say, my trail ride. So one of the ladies that work for Lumia, the USA kind of bit, obviously, because she's in America, I became really, really good friends with her, and she lives kind of not too far away from West Palm Beach. So she was like, hey, if you have a free day, come and ride my horses. So we went to her barn, which was very cool to go to, like, I was gonna say a normal barn, a barn that wasn't like $1 million horses everywhere, but still very, very nice horses. And it was such a pretty property, like gorgeous, like they did weddings there and everything apparently, but it was a little, it was more homey. It wasn't like a mega barn, you know? So I had a little walk around there, and her friend very kindly let me ride one of her ponies, and then she rode her horse and we went out for a hack together. And my dad came along as well. She got my dad a bike, although the bike was a little bit small for him. So he was riding around like almost looked like he was on like a BMX. So that was quite funny. But we went for a hack around, I need to get this right. I want to say the bush, but that's what they say. And so it wasn't really a swamp though. It wasn't wet enough to be a swamp, but like the rural Florida, that's where we went around. And it was stunning, so pretty. And I was like, I just kind of wish that I could transform Joey or Casper there so I could ride them, because I was like, oh, they would love it here so much. And there was lots of like little lakes. We had like, it felt like we're on a proper safari though, because we saw so many different animals. Do you know what I was so excited about? I saw 3 tortoises in the wild. I love tortoises and turtles. They are one of my favorite animals. When I think I was about 12, 13, I was obsessed. I would watch so many YouTube videos on what you needed for your pet tortoise, how to set up a tortoise enclosure. I wanted a tortoise so bad. I did not ever get a tortoise, because if not, I would still have it, because they live for years and years. We did actually look after a friend's tortoise once for, it was for their grandsons, and it was their Christmas present. So we looked after the tortoise kind of like basically the whole of December, because they couldn't, the parents couldn't just like have this tortoise in the house. So they came and picked it up like Christmas Eve and then surprised it for the boys. So that was really cute. But yeah, we looked after that tortoise for, I think it was called Gwen. Was his name? I think its name was Gwen. So anyway, Gwen the tortoise. She was very cute. So I kind of got my tortoise fixed then, but that was only a few years ago, not when I was in my full tortoise obsession. But I don't know, that's such a random thing to be really like, to really love, but I do love animal, any animals I'd love to take in. Oh, there was this really cute bearded dragon that I saw on TikTok, and I was like, oh my gosh. They would take it on walks and things as well. Obviously I don't really know much about bearded dragons and the care that they need, but anyway, continuing on. Back to our hack, sorry. So we saw tortoise in the wild. I saw a baby raccoon and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I feel like I'm living the American life seeing raccoons. And I bet to like any American, like seeing a raccoon is like us seeing like a fox in a bin in your local town, rooting around the bins or something. But I was like, oh my gosh, a raccoon. So that was exciting. Do you know one thing that I was sad that I didn't see? Armadillos. I love armadillos. I got onto armadillo Instagram reels and I don't know what it is, but I just think they are so cute. And for some reason, I always thought armadillos lived in Africa. They just, or Australia. They look like, you know, a deserty kind of creature. But when I found out that they're in Florida or in America, I was like, shut the back door. I wanna go and see an armadillo. I did not see any armadillos, so that was very sad. But we did see some deer, which, I mean, we do have deer in the UK, but American deer, they were different. What else did we see? Oh my gosh, the worst part. Okay, so we were cantering along. This, bear in mind, this is not my horse that I'm riding. Cantering along. And then my friend Lauren up ahead goes, there's a snake. Now, I think I do, like, I've said this before on the podcast, either my hearing is really bad or I do have a little bit of slow processing with my dyslexia. But sometimes it takes me like a few seconds to understand what somebody has said. And then literally, as I was cantering / galloping this horse, I looked down and we were literally over the snake. I cantered over a snake. I don't think the horse stepped on it and the snake did slither out of the way. But when I saw the snake, I screamed. Not because I'm scared of snakes. Like, I have held snakes before. I think they're really cute. They're, like, very cool creatures. Although, I don't know what I'd think if, a big old basilisk came up to me, like in Harry Potter. I think I would actually poo myself. But, you know, I was the kid. I need to tell you the snake story. I have a story about everything. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's talk about snakes. And I'm like, oh, wait, I have a snake story. Anyway, when I was younger, we had in our field where the sun kind of would go on, we had these bits of corrugated iron and we would just, you know, have them on the just on the field for snakes and critters and everything to go under and take shelter. And it was so cool because every summer you could lift up and you could see loads of snakes. So there'd be like snakes, I don't know, sometimes there'd be frogs underneath there, you know, reptile-y creatures. Anyway, and my auntie, she is petrified of most things. She is scared. She was scared of our guinea pigs because they look too much like rats. So she's not a very creature person. When, you know, I grew up watching Steve Backshall Deadly 60. I love all and any animals. Nothing can scare me. So anyway, I decided, and at the time I was wearing this really pretty summer dress as well. I thought, oh, you know what? I'll pick up one of the snakes. So this grass snake, because in the UK we don't really have any like dangerous creatures. All of our animals are pathetic. We do have adders, which could probably maybe, you know, hurt or kill a very small child, but most of the time you're gonna be all right. So I decided to pick up, and also I was that kid that knew the difference between adders and grass snakes, so I picked up this grass snake and it was so scared it pooed down me. Now, bearing in mind I was probably about 7 or 8 at the time, my auntie was petrified. She thought I was some sort of child from a horror movie who had gone and, you know, was picking up this snake and talking to it like some sort of absolute weirdo. So I can definitely say that I'm not scared of snakes. But do you know what I was scared of? I thought, number one, I'm in a foreign country. I don't know if this snake is going to be deadly or have some sort of poison in it. And number two, I'm on a horse that doesn't belong to me. And I've literally just ridden over a snake. And if this horse gets bitten, if it dies, I'm, number one, going to bawl my eyes out and feel guilty for the rest of my life and never forgive myself. And number two, what on earth am I supposed to tell the owner? Anyway, luckily, the snake that, it looked black, I don't know if it's called a black snake or whatever, but anyway, the snake apparently was not dangerous or harmful, and it didn't bite the horse. It's just slithered out the way as I cantered over, so it just was like, whoa, there's a horse coming, better get out the way. But yeah, that is my snake story for you all. So I was a little bit freaked after that, thinking, goodness gracious, at least I wasn't riding the horse that was, some of the horses, I can't disclose how much that they were worth because that's personal information to the owners and the people that might potentially buy them. But some of the horses that I rode, let's just say I was very thankful that they told me how much the horse was worth after I rode it compared to before, because if not, I think I would have refused to get on. So I was like, I do not have that much money in my bank account. If something goes wrong, I don't know if my insurance will pay that out. I mean, we do have very good insurance because at the end of the day, if my dad's filming like horses that are worth millions and millions of pounds, well, you got to have good insurance in case, I don't know, he gets in the way or drops a camera and a horse treads on it and its career ends. I don't know. So we do have to have very good insurance, which I can tell you right now is reassuringly expensive. But no. That was my bush ride in Florida. So before I end this episode, I've got one more story for you. So I am a skincare girly. I love a bit of skincare. I just find it so relaxing, so therapeutic to do it in the morning, like get ready for the day, feel prepared, and in the evening. So my dad is one of those people that doesn't easily get embarrassed. He's normally the one actually that is embarrassing. And he always says it's part of the dad handbook manual. When you become a dad, you get given this handbook and it says you need to embarrass your children as much as possible. So anyway, I managed to get him back because I was the one that made him embarrassed. So on the plane on the way there, I my skin just, it dried out. Like the next day, I felt like, I don't know, I looked like Voldemort. I was just felt like all my skin was peeling off, because on airplanes, obviously, everything's with the aircon and stuff, you just get a bit dry. So I thought on the way home, I'll do a face mask. So we're about, you know, 15, 20 minutes till landing. And you know when they get on the thing being like, okay, everybody, it's your last chance to go for a wee because we're going to be landing soon and the seatbelt sign's going to go on. So I thought, oh, I'll do my skincare, you know, get off the plane, feel all glowy, feel all good. So what do I do? Get my little, like, open up the little packet, put my face mask on. It was a sheet one, not a, like a clay one, because I thought that is going to be way too messy. Sheet one's fine. So I just start opening it up and my dad kind of like looks over, gives me a bit of a side eye being like, we're landing soon. What on earth are you doing? So anyway, I put this face mask on and I'm just chilling. And then he's like, what on earth are you doing, Ez? Like, what are you doing? So he takes this mugshot of me. And the first thing he does is like send it to the family group chat being like, this is what I've had to put up with for like 2 weeks. So there we go. I actually managed to embarrass my dad for once, which I did actually manage to do when I was a kid, because I think I was quite cheeky. But those stories I'm going to keep for my mum to tell at every family function, and whenever my friends come round. So there we go. But yeah, I managed to embarrass. Tell you what though, my skin was silky smooth, like a baby's bum. I felt great. My skin was looking great. Also, jet lag, it hasn't affected me too badly, because the plan was on the plane, have a not so good sleep on the way home. And then, because when you go from America to England, you have to basically try and get to sleep really early, which was fine because I was shattered because I had a really bad sleep the night before. So I got to sleep at a good old time, woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is a little bit later to usual, but, you know, wasn't anything to be sniffed at. And there we go. I think I've managed to beat jet lag. So on that note, we will finish it there. I just want to say another huge thank you to RedPost for sponsoring the podcast. And I also just want to say a huge thank you to everybody who I met in America. I did a meet and greet at Wellington. You're all so lovely. And some of you sent me gifts as well. So thank you so much. I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has made my American trip or Florida trip absolutely incredible. I've had the best time. And also all the people that have let me ride their horses as well, because I know that's a big ask, because if somebody came up to me and was like, can I ride your horse, I'll be like actually I'd more be like because I'd be worried about my horses playing up and doing something stupid and then falling off, because horses are just like that. They always know. Like whenever we have a photo shoot or something, they're like, I'm gonna be a little bit tricky today, because I know that I need to be on my best behavior. But am I gonna do that? Absolutely not. Anyway, we'll finish it off there. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you all next time. Bye.